It's always good to hear from you like that and just thank the Lord for good things. Amen. Let's go to Psalm chapter 6 tonight. Psalm chapter 6 tonight. Look at an important subject here tonight that David teaches us about and the Bible teaches us about, and something that we need to thank God for and pay attention to, all right? And we'll get to it here in a moment. So Psalm chapter 6, in your scriptures there. Let's read this entire chapter of 10 verses, if you will. Psalm 6, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Right? For I am weak. O Lord, heal me. For my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy, what's it say? Mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? In other words, Lord, if you let me die, I can't praise you. I'm not down here anymore anyway. Verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. That's some pretty good praying going on right there. Amen? That's some good, honest praying. And then it gets to the end, and he does a little praise in God because he believes the Lord's going to answer. That's kind of like, Lord, go ahead and praise you now. I know you're going to help me out. Amen? And God had helped him out on many occasions, so thank God for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the reading of it. Pray you bless it. Guide and direct us in it here this evening. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, have mercy. I think that's something we ought to pray quite often, don't you? And David did. David had known the bitterness of his sin. I mean, he describes here, he says not only, he said, I hurt everywhere. He said, my soul hurts. Now, you think about that when your soul hurts right there. Now, that's a spiritual thing. Amen? There are times when your soul hurts. If you get under conviction for sin, your soul ought to hurt. If you can live in sin and your soul not hurt and you don't feel bad about it, you need a checkup. Amen? Spiritual checkup right there. But what David's saying here is sin had taken its toll on him. Now, you know David's life story. You know that David did go off into some terrible sins. He was the man after God's own heart. He was a most spiritual man, if you will. But yet, he got himself in some trouble with God, didn't he? And he's describing conviction. He's describing what it feels like whenever you go away from God. So he said it's physical, it's emotional, it's even spiritual pain. You know, I think on the cross, Jesus experienced all of that on the cross. I know Jesus experienced physical pain, emotional pain, but no doubt he experienced spiritual pain as well because he was taking on the sin of the whole world upon his holy self. But David understood what it was to be right with God. If you've been saved and got right with God, and then you backslide or you do something wrong, it doesn't feel good, does it? It's very unpleasant. He talks about chastening. I think the first act of chastening that God does is to give you that terrible feeling of, Lord, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I've done that again or said that again or whatever it is. And you feel bad about it. That's conviction in your soul. The Holy Spirit, right? And you need to listen to it, pay attention right there. Because if you don't pay attention to that chastening then can get much worse, right? It's kind of like a parent saying, hey, stop that right there, there's just a word to try to correct you, but sometimes if you don't listen, a child doesn't listen, then more discipline comes, right? You know, the very first thing I think that happens when you sin is the red flags go up, and that's more than just your conscience. If you're saved, that's the Spirit of God. Amen? Aren't you glad for the Spirit of God that will raise some red flags in your life and try to get your attention? Because, you know, sin is a complicated matter. It causes so many sorrows. It causes so many heartaches, soul aches, spiritual ache. It causes all kind of headaches. It gets complicated. You know, I think about in the book of Ezra, whenever the Israelites had intermarried with the other nations, and God had told them not to do that. They were unequally yoked together spiritually. God said, don't do that. Yet they did do that. And when Ezra brought the revival, a lot of people don't understand, they don't like it, but he told them to break up those marriages. Now, a lot of people in the natural mind, you know, that's, really, is that a good solution to break up the marriages and break up the family? Well, you got to remember, they were in a terrible situation with no good solution simply because they didn't do things God's way in the beginning. And so you get into situations like that, and life gets very, very complicated when you do it without God. That's all I'm saying. If you do it without God's direction, and you do it without paying attention to those red flags, then life really does get complicated. So here David is, knowing he had done some things wrong, knowing he had brought about many problems himself, so what does he do? He goes to God, he prays about it, and he asks for mercy. Lord, have mercy upon me. That is a great, great prayer. How can we get that mercy of God in our life and get the bitterness of sin out? Because that's what he's describing here with his soul hurting. You talk about a heartache. This was a spiritual heartache. Wanted to get the bitterness out of it. I tell you, Satan bites with bitterness, right? I mean, he'll promise the world. He'll promise pleasure. You know, the Bible talks about sin, that there's pleasure in sin for a season. Did you know the Bible says that? Did you know the Bible admits that you enjoy sin? But the Bible also warns us and lets us know you won't enjoy it for very long before it gets very, very bitter and causes your soul to ache because you bought the lies of the devil. And then you find yourself at that point, hopefully, confessing your sin and asking God for His mercy. Thank God for mercy tonight. Have you experienced the mercy of God in any kind of a way? Not just your soul's salvation. We thank God for that, but maybe on many other levels you've experienced the mercy of God. Do you think you've experienced the mercy of God and maybe you didn't even know you did? Yeah, God's looked out for you in times by His mercy that perhaps you didn't even know about it. Thank God for His mercy. But by the way, mercy doesn't mean that I can just keep getting away with my sin. That's not what mercy is. Like I said about Ezra, Ezra said, we got to correct this complicated situation. And they said, well, that's a complicated correction. Well, you got a complicated mess. You got to do something about it. So mercy doesn't mean I'll overlook it. God's not like that. Now, that's not what mercy is. You know, well, God have mercy on me while I keep on sinning. Now, that's not the right prayer. This is a prayer of confession and repentance. If you think, yeah, God's merciful, so He doesn't really mind, you don't know God very well, right? That's not what He's talking about here at all. Now, let's think about this tonight. Number one, I want to say this about this. Number one, how can we get mercy? Number one, realize your need of mercy. Realize your need. Do you agree with me tonight that a lot of people are going through this world not realizing they need the mercy of God? Again, they think God is a God of love and He doesn't mind. They don't even know or realize or even think that they need divine mercy from heaven. That's why people don't get saved. Well, I'm not that bad. Why do I need to confess that I'm a sinner? I'm not that bad. Why do I need to pray, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner? You don't realize how bad of a sinner you are. You say, well, I've never done this, I've never done that, I've never murdered, never. You're just as in need of mercy as the guy that did that stuff. Because you're a sinner on the same level. You're a sinner. We're all born in on that same level. We're all born into sin, born into needing the mercy of God. Amen? Now, I'm talking about here in the sense of salvation, but we need the mercy of God, again, on every level. You've got problems. You've got troubles. You've got things you're going through right now, and you need the mercy of God to help you out with it. Now, I know a lot of times we talk about grace and peace. And I believe they're all interconnected. We need the grace of God. The grace of God, folks, it'll comfort us. It'll sustain us. It'll strengthen us. It'll help us in so many ways. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Thank God for it. But I think grouped right in there with all of that is the mercy of God. Because if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we wouldn't get the other two. Grace and peace. Much less forgiveness, right? God is a merciful God. That He even pays attention to mankind. I mean, Isaiah asked that question, you know. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? Well, the answer to that is, God is merciful, and that's the reason. But we need to realize, first of all, that we need mercy. Now, a lot of folks won't ask God for forgiveness. They won't ask God for salvation. They think they're going to be good enough to make it in. They don't realize they need mercy to get in to heaven, right? They think they're just going to walk right on into heaven. And I, you know, boy, I'm going to make it in. I've been good enough. They don't understand. No, you have not been good enough. You're hell-bent, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. And you need mercy. You need to ask for it. You need to realize that you need mercy from God. Now, folks think, well, you know, God's a loving God. I guess the idea of that is, well, God never gets angry. Well, he said here in the text in verse 1, Lord, rebuke me not in thine, what? Anger. Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Yeah. Don't you love, somebody told me the other day, he said, I don't understand people can't understand the King James Bible. If you can understand English, you can understand the King James Bible. I believe that too. And it don't take a whole lot to figure out what in the world is hot displeasure. You've probably had some hot displeasure in your life. You ever got hot under the collar, as we say? You probably had some hot displeasure with some folks yourself. You probably had hot displeasure with your own self. Amen? Well, this time about God, He said, Lord, please, don't chasten me in your hot displeasure. Lord, please, don't rebuke me in your anger. Ah, well, you know, God's a good God. He doesn't get angry with people. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. We can make God angry. We can make God, you know, we want to please God. Well, if we can please God, that means we can also cause Him displeasure, as it says. When we don't please God, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, right? Then we realize, hopefully we realize we need mercy. God is holy, God is just, God is a judge. God will punish sin. Isn't that what hell and the cross is really all about? God's hot displeasure and anger and punishment upon sin and unbelief. Hell and the cross. If people could get a hold of that. I mean, how long have we been living the Christian life, some of us, and we need to get a hold of this thing about hell and the cross, and what that says about God's attitude towards our sin. And if we'll get a picture of that, we'll realize how much we need mercy, and we'll appreciate how much mercy and grace has been bestowed upon us. That's when we'll praise God. Amen? When we realize how much we need it. Well, David knew that he was in trouble, no doubt. I mean, that's what he's saying. Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger and chasing me in your hot displeasure. I think really he's saying, God, let's don't do this anymore. God, let's don't do this any longer because I'm not enjoying it very much. And you don't enjoy it. You ought not enjoy it. His conviction, it was not pleasant. It was weighing heavy upon him. So he asked God for mercy. For thy mercies That's plural there. Thy mercy's sake. God has a lot of mercy. But He's appealing to that mercy. Have you faced your guilt? You know, look, a person that won't get saved has never faced their guilt. They've never admitted their guilt. You know, it takes the Holy Spirit of God to convict us and make us uncomfortable and to make us realize that we need to do like Peter and say, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. He saw the Lord do a miracle. He realized who the Lord was. He realized the holiness of God and that's whose presence he was in. Boy, he began to beg for mercy, didn't he? That's what he was asking for. And we have to realize this when we face it and we realize that we need it. You know, in Acts chapter 10, you got Cornelius there. Good man. Good man. Man, I tell you what, the Bible describes him as a good man. But you know, the Bible also describes him as a lost man who realized he needed the mercy of God. Everybody else said he's a religious man, he's a great man, he's a really good person. He does so many good things. And you know what Cornelius was saying? Peter, come tell me about Jesus. I think I need some mercy. Amen. I need the Lord to have mercy upon my soul. And a good man right there got saved. Amen. Right? He realized goodness being good, wasn't it? He realized he needed the mercy. Wasn't it a good day when you realized you needed the mercy of God? You needed His help. You needed His forgiveness, His grace, His strength. Do you still realize it every day? You need the mercy of God. You say, I'm saved now. You still need the mercy of God, don't you? You need the mercy of God. Realize you need His mercy. But let me say number two, see God is the source of mercy. See God is the source of mercy is number two. So David says there in verse 4, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for Thy mercy's sake. Now, he probably means deliver him out of his sin, deliver him out of his problems and troubles that sin had caused. And he talks about his enemies here, and David had a lot of enemies, right? And David brought a lot of things on himself because he didn't pay attention to the red flags like he should have. Whenever David got in trouble with Bathsheba, and he was taking a little hiatus there and taking a little vacation from what he ought to have been doing, he let his guard down, remember all that? You think maybe the Holy Spirit tried to say, David, don't go to the window. David, don't take another look. David, you ought to be out there on the battlefield. You think the Holy Spirit? I'm sure He did. But whenever He made the decision to send His army and not go to battle, I would about say, dare say, the Holy Spirit said, no, that's not the right thing to do. The devil was setting him up, and he wasn't paying attention. The devil was setting a trap, and he wasn't paying attention, right? Again, I think sometimes the mercy of God has probably helped us avoid some situations like that. But sometimes we're stubborn, and we're not paying attention. But here he appealed to the mercies of God, the mercies, multiple mercies of God. He recognized that God is the source of it. He appealed unto these mercies of God. He's the source. Aren't you glad it's available for you tonight? Remember the mercy seat, the tabernacle? The mercy seat. They sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. I tell you, the cross at Calvary, the cross, folks, that is the mercy seat for us. Amen? Where the blood was shed for our atonement. Thank God. What the priest did at the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies to sprinkle that blood for the atonement of the people, that's what Jesus in the cross, that's our mercy seat tonight. Are you glad for the mercy? The mercy seat of God. And recognizing the source of it is God. God is the source of our mercy. The Bible says His mercy is eternal. Let me give you a few references here. In Psalm 106, His mercy endureth forever. The Bible says that a lot, by the way. His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 103, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. From everlasting to everlasting. Oh boy, that's a double emphasis on, can you imagine a double emphasis on everlasting, eternity? I mean, do you get it? This is forever and ever and ever and ever. He says God's mercy is eternal. God's mercy is boundless. Psalm 119 says, the earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy. The earth is full of Thy mercy. Boy, that's boundless, isn't it? Psalm 108, for Thy mercy is great above the heavens. His mercy is also refreshing. Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Isn't that a great verse in Lamentations 3:22? It's by the mercy of God that you and I are not already consumed in hell. Isn't that what He said? Why? Because His compassions fail not. New every morning. You hear people say that a lot. Boy, if God got you up this morning, you got something to praise God for. Amen. If God woke you up this morning, you got something to praise God for. It's new every morning. Every day is a new day. Isn't that a wonderful way to look at a new day? It's a new day. Well, I got this problem. I got that problem. I did this. It's a new day. It's a new day. Make it better than yesterday. Amen. It's by the mercies of God that the sun comes up again, and it's like, it teaches us that we can have a whole lot of fresh starts in our life by the mercy of God. You get a lot of second chances. New every day. Is that a second chance? And a whole bunch of them. Amen? It's refreshing. It also encourages revival. Joel 2:13. He said, rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger. He talked about God being angry, but here Joel said God is slow to anger. That's mercy, right? That is mercy. We know that mercy brings salvation, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Well, that's a good Bible. A lot of folks need to learn. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy. He has saved us. What am I talking about? The source of mercy is God. Thank God for His mercy. Preacher John Wesley was a powerful preacher many years ago, and one man gave his testimony about hearing John Wesley and the effects of his preaching. He said, John Wesley can tell the secrets of my heart when he preaches, but he hath not left me there. He has shown me the remedy, the blood of Jesus. Then was my soul filled with comfort through hope that God, for Christ's sake, would save my evil soul. What's he saying? John Wesley not only told about the wrath of God, he also told about the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the mercy of God. Amen? Hey, you can't get it out of balance. You've got to have both of those things. The cross shows the wrath of God upon sin. It shows the love of God upon sinners. Amen? So we don't just preach justice and holiness and wrath, fire and brimstone. We preach God gives love and grace and mercy, and God wants you to be with Him forevermore. Amen? He wants to forgive the sinner and give the sinner a home in heaven. Thank God for that mercy. God, why do we thank God? Because He's the source of it. You ought to realize you need it. Go to God for it because He's the source of it. Number three is just simply this. Number three, pray and ask for it. Isn't that what He did here? Just prayed and asked for it. Just pray and ask for it. Have mercy, verse 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Have you ever prayed that? Lord, I'm weak today. You ever been weak physically? You ever been weak in your emotions? You ever been weak spiritually? You ever said, Lord, have mercy, for I am weak? Just ask for the mercy. God knows we're weak, by the way. The Bible says He knows we're just dust, right? God knows we're just down here on His footstool, right? This earth is His footstool, and we're running around on this big old earth, just His little old footstool, amen, right? And He knows we're just dust. But He's mindful of us. He said, if you little guys down there on my little footstool will ask for mercy, you'll get it. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? We need mercy. You know, people pray for a lot of stuff. I mean, we pray for healing. We ought to, right? You ought to pray for healing. You pray for help. You pray for God to intervene. You pray for your loved ones. You pray for somebody. And boy, there's so many situations people are in. You pray for each other about that, right? You pray for help. You probably pray for wealth. I told you, I used to pray, Lord, don't let a month come that I can't pay my bills. Now I say, thank you for that, Lord, but I should have been praying, Lord, please overflow my bank account. Amen. Not just enough to pay my bills, right? I was praying wrong all them years, right? Lord, help me. I get enough to pay my bills. Amen. Lord said, that's all you ask for, right? You have not because you ask not. I'm kidding, but you understand what I mean. Yeah, sometimes you just go ahead and pray big. Amen. Because God's merciful and God can do it. I guess some people pray for wealth. I don't know. I can't say that I don't think I've really ever prayed for wealth and riches. I don't know. Probably somewhere along the line, maybe. I know I've dreamed of it, right? You dream about it. I don't know. I dream about being like some of y'all someday, you know, with money, you know. But, you know, but the most needed prayer is not those things. It's mercy. Just ask for that. Ask God for mercy. Amen. And say, Lord, I want to be wealthy in your mercies. Amen. I want a whole lot of your mercy. You know, I like the prayer of the publican. Luke 18, when God compared the arrogant Pharisee to the humble publican. That publican, the Bible says, Jesus said, the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes in the heaven, smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That other man had just prayed about how good he was. This man said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The other was the religious man. He was the good man. He told God so in his prayer. He didn't go away justified and forgiven and a heart full of grace and peace and mercy. The man that asked for the mercy got the mercy. Amen? Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Well, let's ask for some mercy. You know, if you want salvation and regular cleansing from God, appeal to His mercy. Go ahead and tell Him how bad you are. He already knows. No need telling Him how good you are. He's already said, your righteousness is filthy rags in front of me. Don't bring me your good works. Come tell me how bad you are. I already know it anyway. Right? I heard an honest preacher say the other day to his people. He told his people the other day, he said, I come here and y'all see my good side because that's all I show you. He said, no, everybody else back home, they know my bad side, but I ain't showing that. Yeah. Aren't we all a little bit like that? Yeah. Me and Ron. All right. Y'all know what I'm talking about, amen, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. God already knows. I don't have to say I have a bad side. You know that. You figured that out. Everybody, all of y'all do too, amen, right? But God knows. Go ahead and tell Him, Lord, I have a bad side and I see it too much and you see it too much. Lord, forgive me and have mercy. The flesh, we say the flesh rears up its ugly head. And that is true. And we say, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me. Cleanse me again. Now listen to this. Justice is getting what we deserve. Right? And if we got what we deserve, folks, we'd already be in hell. Truth of the matter is, justice is getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Not getting what we do deserve. That's mercy. They all work together. They're all intertwined. We pray for mercy. Lord, I don't want to get justice. I don't want to get what I know I deserve. I don't want to get, you know, I guess everybody in every court probably appeals for mercy in that sense, whether they realize that's what they're asking for or not. Lord, have mercy. In a prayer meeting, a man stood up and he said, Lord, send justice. Lord, send justice. Lord, we all need justice. Another man prayed behind him and said, Lord, please no. We need mercy. Lord, send us mercy. I like that prayer better. But you know what? The cross, God answered both of those prayers at the cross. He did send justice upon sin, but He also sent mercy upon sinners. Now, mercy, folks, let me say this in closing. Mercy is not just for your soul, not just for the pains of your soul. It's not just for the conviction of your sin. I think mercy is for our everyday life. Whenever you pray, you pray along with Job, Lord, I want a hedge of protection about me and my family and my church and all of it. You're praying for mercy, right? You're saying, God, give me mercy. You pray for provision. You pray for protection. You pray for help. You pray for strength. You pray for God to intervene in some situation going on in your life. You're praying for the mercy of God. And smart people and wise people will do it every day, all day long. Because if we realize, if I got what I deserve, I'd already be out of here. It's by the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed already, right? Thank God we're not consumed. By the way, if you're saved, you never will be consumed. Amen? You've got a home in heaven. He's preparing a place for you. That's mercy. I don't deserve a place up there in heaven. I don't deserve a mansion up there in heaven. I don't deserve to see gates of pearl and walls of jasper and streets of gold and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But by mercy, I know I will. Amen. I think first point, just realize it. If people would just realize we stand in need of God's mercy. And if we realize point number two, God is the source of it, we'll do point number three, and we'll just ask Him for it. And we'll ask Him for it in probably any and every situation that we are in our life. Psalm 30, verse 10, let me close with this. The Lord gave me this verse a while back, but it says this, Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, be thou my helper. Psalm 30, verse 10. I preached on it a while back. But I love that verse. First of all, he says, Lord, hear us. Then he says, Lord, have mercy upon us. And then he says, Lord, help us. I love that prayer right there, too. That's another great prayer. Amen. Lord, hear us. Have mercy upon us and help us. Now, he made it personal. Hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me, and Lord, be thou my helper. That's asking God for mercy, Psalm 30, 10, and Psalm 6, and all through. And his mercy endureth forever, and it's from everlasting to everlasting. That means you can ask for it again tonight, you can ask for it again tomorrow, and you can ask for it again the next day. Amen. And right on down the line. And we'll need to. But I'm just saying this. I thank God it's not only available, it'll never run out. It's right there with grace. It's always sufficient. Amen? Aren't you glad for God's mercy? Hey, if you're here tonight, that's mercy. If you're doing pretty good tonight, that's mercy. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, that's the mercy of God. Right? Lord, have mercy. Thank God for it. Amen? I hope you'll go away tonight just rejoicing that you have the mercy of God. Now remember, lost people, the Bible says, the wrath of God abideth upon them. They've got the wrath of God's hand hovering over them all the time. Now, you know what? If they'll ask for mercy, God will lift that wrath off of them. Amen? Hey, if you've already had that happen, thank God for it. Amen? Thank God for mercy. Would you bow your heads with me this evening, please? Just thanking the Lord for His grace, His goodness, and His mercy. Dear Father, we want to thank You tonight, Lord, so much that You love us. And God, every day, Lord, our mercies are new every morning. Your mercies are. And Lord, I pray You'll help us tonight. Speak to our hearts and encourage us and meet the needs, whatever they may be this evening. And I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name this evening. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed.